Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Good Morning Live on this Friday morning. I pray you are up and out of bed and starting your day and getting ready to have an amazing day and an amazing weekend. And we can say that because any day with Jesus is a good day, right? So thanks for being on with me today. Remember, if you are listening or watching on a platform that you can like, comment, share, and subscribe, please do all of the above. We call that being a digital missionary, helping us send the gospel further by simply sharing and liking and commenting and letting us know where you're watching from. All of that helps the algorithms keep moving forward. So we greatly appreciate that. I want to remind you, we are doing this week's teaching out of Levi Lusco's book, Blessed Are the Spiraling. I came across this book a few weeks ago and absolutely loved it, loved its message. And so we want to put an offer into your hands. You can receive this book by texting the word blessed to 717-500-3575. And it'll shoot you a link back, and then we can get that book right into your hands. So it's been an amazing week of teaching, talking about spiraling. What do we mean by spiraling? Well, we all go through seasons or difficulties or circumstances or challenges in our lives at times that can leave us spiraling. Have you ever been in a spiraling season? Sure you have. Where you don't sometimes know up from down, from out, where to look, which direction to go. It just seems like everything is confusing and chaotic. But there are some promises that we can find in the spiraling season. We talked on Wednesday about realizing that if we are in the dirt, the Bible gave an illustration of a man who found treasure buried in the dirt. And that sometimes you just got to dig through the dirt to find the treasure in those hard seasons. But the promise of God is that in every season, we would find blessing, that in every season, no matter how difficult it is, we would find the blessing and provision of God even there. So sometimes when you are in the dirt, you just got to start digging, right? So many of us have been in spiraling seasons, and there are many reasons you can get into a spiraling season, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as we progress on. But a spiraling season is really just a season of chaos where you just feel chaotic and you just feel like, God, where am I at? What's going on? And, you know, what's happening in my life and in my world, right? But there's a promise that I want to talk about today found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. And it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the persecuted. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the persecuted. Actually, if you study that Greek word, blessed out, it actually says fortunate, favored, or lucky. Now that doesn't typically how we would define blessing or how we would even define a spiraling season. But listen, in that light, that word in scripture, blessed means fortunate, favored, or lucky, right? So fortunate, favored, or lucky are the poor in spirit or those who mourn or the persecuted. In other words, blessed, fortunate, favored, lucky are those who are in a spiraling season. Right? Jesus doesn't say blessed are those who live lives that are neat, whose lives are perfect, who avoided crisis or never had a loss or a pain, but he actually says blessed, fortunate, and lucky are those who walk through spiraling seasons, who encounter challenges, who don't always have a life that's buttoned up perfect and everything's neat and orderly and doesn't know what it is to face a challenge. But Jesus says, blessed are those who actually face some challenges in their life. Could it be that when you are actually spiraling, you're actually the closest to blessing than you have ever been. I said this on Wednesday, but if I look back on my life and, you know, just those difficult seasons, and I'm sure you can as well, look back on those seasons and you know, in retrospect, you will often find that, man, it was in those challenging seasons that I discovered the closeness of God, the nearness of God, the favor of God, the blessing of God, like I had never known it before. And there's a reason for that. It's because God is near. Even in our spiraling, that's when he's closest. Listen to Psalms 34:18 says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as a contrite spirit. Like, we know God is everywhere. He's always, there's no getting away from his presence. That's that omnipresent piece of who God is. But his manifest presence shows up specifically in our suffering, specifically in our spiraling. And that's why God can look at your spiraling season. That's why God can look at your desert season, or when you're standing, like we said, on that dirt field seasons, and say, oh, you're blessed. Oh, you're favored. Oh, you're lucky. Well, God, how can you say I'm blessed, favored, and lucky when I'm standing in the middle of a spiraling season? He says, because my presence will be made manifest and will be closer to you in this season than you could have ever imagined. And you will come out the other side of this season with a greater understanding of who God is, a greater understanding of his favor and his peace and his promise over your life. Listen, the greatest sense of God's presence doesn't come from the mountaintop. I've discovered this, and I can testify to this. I know many of you can as well. But it comes in the valley of the shadow of death. Like, that's what David said. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thy rod and thy staff, they lead me. It doesn't say, God, I felt you and I've known you on the mountaintop, and it was on the mountaintop that you have led me, and it was on the mountaintop that I felt you. So, you know, the closest. No, David said it was in the valley of the shadow of death that his rod and his staff were there, that it led him, that it kept him close. Listen, there's a reason we don't meet Jesus on the Mount of Ease, right? But we find Jesus on the cross of suffering. So what do we do in our spiraling seasons? How do we navigate spiraling seasons? Well, I believe it's to look at it in the right perspective. Get a right perspective. Listen to James 1. It says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Listen, trials aren't punishment. It's process. Sometimes you need to say to yourself, God isn't trying to kill me in the spiral. He's trying to grow me in the spiral. Now, let me again be very clear on this, because I don't want to breed any confusion. I don't believe that the nature of God is to cause or bring things into our life that are against his will. I don't believe God brings sickness and disease and poverty. I don't believe that those are things that God would put on his children, just as any natural parent wouldn't put those things on their children. How much better is God, right? Like, I don't believe he puts that on his children to try to teach them something. But I do believe that sometimes we spiral in life, and we talked about this a little bit, but as a result of, you know, a left field attack, as I call them, something that, you know, the devil just brought out of nowhere. It's an attack of the adversary, and it has now sent you spiraling. That's one way. A second way is you and me made personal decisions that, you know, we've sown some things, right? And now we are reaping the harvest of what we have sown. Yesterday, we talked about them sowing the wind and reaping the whirlwind, like that self-inflicted spiraling. And sometimes we have sown the wind and we are reaping the whirlwind, which is causing us to spiral. However, here's the goodness of God. is that God says, listen, if you are spiraling because either you have made yourself spiral or the enemy has come in and caused the spiraling, I will use it all for your good. You will come out the other side of this stronger and better, more wise, with more wisdom than you ever had before you went into it. So I say, God, in the spiraling, God's not trying to kill you. He's trying to grow you. He's trying to use it as an opportunity to say, listen, you are here. This is what's happening. But if you trust me and you draw close to me, even in your spiraling, you'll grow stronger. You'll be better on the other side of it. There's a fly here in the studio today, driving me crazy. So that's why I believe that if you find yourself in a spiraling season, or you know somebody who's in a spiraling season, one of the greatest things we can do is help them find, or find ourselves, that perspective that reminds us that, listen, God wants to grow me in this. There's treasure hidden in this spiraling somewhere, right? So when you're hitting a wall, sometimes when it feels like you're hitting a wall, you got to remember sometimes we're actually climbing stairs, right? Like this challenge, that's what the Bible says. We go from one level of glory to another level of glory, faith to faith to faith. Like maybe this situation that I'm in, now it's causing me to need faith to get out of it. Well, here's the benefit. Faith is a muscle, and the more you use it, the stronger it gets. So though you may have gotten yourself into this situation, the development of your faith to get yourself out of the situation is going to leave you stronger on the other side. So having that right perspective when we spiral, right, changes everything. It makes us realize that we are see ourselves the right thighs. Like we understand that we are small and God is big, right? Spiraling reminds us that we are not in control, and we never were. Spiraling helps us and reminds us that we should stop treating God like an add-on and start depending on him for every single breath. Why? Because most of the time, we want to be in the driver's seat of our life until we spiral out of control, like that country music song from Carrie Underwood, Jesus, Take the Wheel, right? And, you know, the whole theme of that song is she's driving, she's, you know, running her life, she's doing it. And then once she hits some ice in the road and she's spiraling, Jesus, take the wheel. Well, here's a benefit of a spiraling season. You don't have to spiral if Jesus had taken the wheel in the beginning. If you weren't driving at all, right? Like there's bumper stickers. Jesus is my co-pilot. I don't want Jesus to be my co-pilot. I want Jesus to be in charge of the aircraft. I want him to be in the driver's seat of my life. I don't want to, you know, just consult him when it feels good and comfortable and, you know, I don't know what's going on. I don't want to yell, Jesus, take the wheel when I'm spiraling out of control on the icy road. No, I want Jesus in the driver's seat from the moment we get in, right? So that's the advantage that you have is sometimes when we're in those spiralings, that's what we all do. We say, all right, Jesus, you know, whenever there's a national tragedy, what happens? People flood back to churches. Churches are full like they've never been before. Why? Because, oh, life is spiraling. There's shifting ground. There's uncertainty, you know, in the world. So let's run back to God. And I'm not putting that down. Of course, we should run to God when we're spiraling. But when we do, it's a reminder that, you know what? I wouldn't be spiraling at all if God was in control. He's big. I'm small. I've never been in control. He's in control. And I need to stop treating God like an add-on or a co-pilot or something that I turn to in crisis. But instead, what does the Bible said? Trust in the Lord in all of your ways. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. Not just when you're spiraling, but when you get up in the morning. Not just when life's out of control, but when you're on the mountaintop. Not just when things are difficult, but when things are well. So spiraling helps remind us that God is big and we are not. spiraling will often help us reorient our priorities. When everything's spiraling, what? Only what matters stays. Only what matters stays. You remember, you know what? What's important here? Family, faith, eternity. Fame's not important. Money's not important. Image isn't important, right? We remember when we're spiraling, we cling to what's most important. That's family, that's faith, that's eternity. We get lost sometimes in life and in that progression and, you know, lose contact with what's really important, which is why typically we start spiraling anyway, because we lost grip of what's important in our, you know, what God's called us to and what we should be focused on. But sometimes when we're spiraling, that helps us reorient our priorities, keep our eyes fixed on what truly matters. And then the third thing that spiraling can help us, it can help return our praise. Even spirals, come on, can produce praise. Like I think of like a shofar, like if you've ever seen a shofar, ram's horn, they're spirals and they are used biblically for worship and warfare and for announcement. But they're unique in their design because it's a spiral, and it's that spiral design, right, that helps produce the sound of praise and the sound of warfare. Sometimes your spiral will release out of you a praise that you long forgot ever even existed. Why? Because praise is good on the mountain. Praise is good on the flat road surface. But there's a different kind of praise that comes out of the life of a believer when they're spiraling. Why? Because that's when you have to reach down into the core of who you are and offer God praise even when you don't feel it. Offer God praise even when it doesn't make sense. Offer God praise even when you don't know what's up and right and out and where you're going. Spiraling can produce praise. So real quick, let me give you a few tips for surviving the spiral. Because like I said, if you're not spiraling, you maybe know somebody who's spiraling, or you will be spiraling at some point in your life. Number one, stick to the plan. Stick to the plan. When you are spiraling, stick to the plan. Don't quit in the dark what God told you in the light. We have talked about this, but you know, if you remember, I think I preached two Sundays ago, just stay in the boat. When Jesus told the disciples, I'll meet you on the other side, and the storm came and it was tossing their boat everywhere and they thought they were going to die. Like they should have been in the most peace in their life that they've ever had right in the middle of that storm. Why? Because Jesus released a word over them and said, get in the boat, cross the river, and I will meet you on the other side. What did he do? He gave them a word that they were going to survive the storm and that he would see them on the other side. So it didn't matter what happened from the moment they left that shore to the moment that word was fulfilled on the other side. It did not matter. Why? Because they had a word from Jesus that they would meet him on the other side. But they forgot the words that he spoke. And now when the storm came and their boat was tossed about, I think I said it when I was preaching this, I said, it doesn't matter if your boat capsizes and spins through the air 80 times. I will not be in fear. Why? Because I will not quit in the dark what God said to me in the light. He said, I'll meet you on the other side. What is his word? Stick to the plan. Have confidence that it doesn't matter how bad the storm is or how much it's spiraling out of control or how big the waves are or how loud the thunder crashing is. None of that matters. What matters is what are the last words that Jesus spoke to me. And his words were, I will meet you on the other side. So do not quit in the dark what God spoke to you in the light when you're spiraling. Stick to the plan. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't back down. Stick to the plan. Number two, you peel away the extra. You peel away the extra. Identity crisis has come when we build on temporary labels. So strip it down to, I am a child of God. Sometimes when we're spiraling, we want to hold on to titles and positions and work assignments and, you know, well, my career, and I want to hold on to all these other pieces of identity. But listen, when you're spiraling, the greatest thing you can do is just remind yourself, not that I'm a CEO, not that I'm a boss, not that I'm a mom, not that I'm a, what at the core of who I am a child of God. And that's what makes the difference. My job won't save me. My position won't save me. My titles in life won't save me. I got to peel away the extra and remind myself at the core of who I am a child of God. That's who I am. Sometimes when life gets crazy and spiraling starts to happen, I got to peel away the extra. Come on. All those things that I thought were important, I got to peel them away and just get back to the basics. I'm a child of God. He's my father. I'm his child. He loves me. He's for me. He knows me. He's not forgotten about me. He knows where I am. He understands my pain. He knows I may not know where I am in the spiraling, right? But he knows exactly where I am. And he remembers the number of hairs that I have on my head at any given moment. That's who I am. And it's when you do that, when you're spiraling, it helps ground you. Like I've often heard it talked about, you know, when you're talking about anxiety and fear, one of the things that psychologists will tell you to do if you're having an anxiety attack is put your hands on a table or something tangible and feel it and start just looking at something in the room and saying what it is, like camera, light, table. And what it's doing is it's grounding you in I'm seeing where I am. I know where I am. This is the real. This is the reality. I'm grounding myself back in that moment, but I'm also then changing that pattern in my brain that was, you know, thinking what if, and I'm just stopping that thought process and I'm just picture window, and it's helping catch that anxiety before it gets out of control. And the same way, what I think was when you're spiraling out of control in your life and you don't know what's up and what's down, peel away the extra. I'm a child of God. I'm his beloved. He died on the cross for me. You got to come back sometimes to those basics to remind yourself, strip everything else away. You can lose the title. Your kids can reject you. You can lose ministry. You can lose money. You can lose the business deal. Everyone can reject you. You can lose friends and family, but the core of who you are is you are a blood-bought, redeemed, favored child of the Most High God. That's your identity. Other things will come, other things will go, but you are a child of God. So we stick to the plan. We peel away the extra. And then number three, we interpret the struggle accurately. We interpret the struggle accurately. Don't catastrophize, if you will, but get wise counsel. Don't let your feelings define your future, right? So we interpret the struggle accurately. You know, when you're spiraling, it just seems like, well, my whole life is ruined. My whole, you know, future is gone. We can do that. You know, we just, something bad's going on. We're spiraling and suddenly we just prophesy that our whole future is a waste and a ruin because of what's happening right now, because a relationship ended, a divorce happened, a ministry fell apart. Whatever the circumstances are, suddenly we prophesy that this is our whole future. This is how it's going to be. Actually, Sarah had to catch me on that one last night. They're doing some kind of subdivisions in our the farm behind us, and they had put up some additional stakes, and it's not quite where I thought they were going to be. And so I come in and I'm like saying, well, what if this happens and what if that happens? And she's like, I'm not even going there. I'm not even entertaining it. And it was probably wisdom on her part. But, you know, we do that. And I'm like, well, I mean, are we going to be happy here if there's this and that thing? And, you know, if we're not, going down the road, you know, I've heard other people say, you know, trying to colonize Mars, you know, before. Like you're just living way out ahead of yourself, right? Like interpret the struggle accurately. Like don't let where you are now, what's happening right now, define your future. Deal with what's in front of you right now and don't let that prophesy to your future. A current struggle doesn't have the right to prophesy to my future. A current struggle, it will only become a stepping stone for a better future if I handle it correctly, if I interpret the struggle correctly, but often we allow what happens in one season to define a future. Like there's a scripture that says that we fear no bad report. Well, listen, I went through this. I had two parents that both died of cancer 4 months apart, real struggle. And, you know, in seasons of life, it's like, what's that? What is this? And if you allow yourself, it's like because of a circumstance or because, you know, of something that happened in my life or maybe in your life, you know, now it's like you can become a hypochondriac. What is this? What's happening? What am I feeling? What's going on? Why? Because of a circumstance that happened. But what I'm doing and what we're doing is when we do that, we are allowing a circumstance. We are allowing a bad circumstance, yes, but we're allowing that thing to prophesy what our future is and will become. You know, I heard Joyce Meyer talk about, and again, this is Joyce Meyer, right? But she was saying, you know, again, she went through this. She had cancer, and, you know, anytime a doctor, you know, when you have that and they do a checkup and it's like, well, you know, we don't like that number, so let's go back in and do this. And every time, you know, the enemy's coming in screaming, what is this? What is this? You know, this is good. It's back. It's going to grow, you know, and you have to capture those thoughts. You have to deal with that correctly. But listen, we cannot allow a past struggle to identify and prophesy what our future will be. I don't care if your grandmother, your grandfather, everybody in your family line has died of a certain disease. You do not have to allow that disease to prophesy what your future will be. I don't care if everybody in your family died poor, broke, discouraged, and disgusted. That does not have to prophesy what your family will be. I don't care if you're walking through the greatest heartache right now in your life. Yes, God is close to you. Yes, we have compassion for that. But what you cannot do is you cannot allow that to prophesy that you will always be lonely, that you will always be in pain, that you will always be hurting. No. You do not allow a circumstance to prophesy what your future. You do not allow it to define your future. I will feel the pain in the moment. I will acknowledge this is where I am. I will understand that this is hard. This is hard to get through. This is hard to process, but I will grieve this season. I will process this season. I will come, but here's the thing, I will come out of the other side of this season. Come on, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego coming out the other side of that fiery furnace. Their testimony isn't that they survived the fire. The testimony is that they came out the other side without even the smell of smoke on them. There was no evidence when they were delivered from the fiery furnace that they had ever even walked through it. Come on, and that's what I'm prophesying to your future today. You may be spiraling today. You may have situations in your life that are out of control today. You may know someone that's spiraling today. But the greatest thing you can do is you can say, you know what? This is where I am right now. I might be in the fiery furnace right now, but when I come out the other side of this, there will be no evidence. I won't be emotionally scarred. I won't be mentally damaged. I won't be spiritually weakened. I will be stronger when I come out the other side of this. That's right. Cheryl just says, Christ prophesies our future and our destiny, 100%. He does, but often we allow other things to prophesy. I remember talking to somebody several years ago and a very terrible, traumatic situation there. Parents had gotten sick and died, and the one parent was supposed to be taking care of the other, and the caretaker passed, which then caused the parent who needed the assistance to pass away. And this person had come into the home to check on their parents and realizing then what had happened. And of course, that is a very traumatic thing. And I couldn't imagine the pain of walking through that and living in that reality of what happened. And but as they're sitting in my office and they're telling me about this, and I mean, they are just hysterical and, you know, going on how, you know, their life is falling apart because of this. And I'm under the assumption that like this just happened last week. And, you know, so I'm trying to minister to them out and through this light. And late in the conversation, it came out that this thing happened like 30 some years ago. And again, I'm not saying that, you know, because, you know, somebody passed 30 years ago, well, now you're just, you don't feel anything about it. I'm not saying that. But what was so prevalent in this person's life, the reality was is that an event that happened 30 years ago that, yes, was traumatizing, that, yes, was, I could only imagine, difficult to get through. Yes, you know, would you know, take a lot to process to get through. They never moved on from that event. They are still living in the trauma. That's, and I guess that's the word. They're still living in the trauma of that event, and their life is continuing to spiral out of control because of the trauma of that event. Not that they forget, not that it's never, you know, not there, not that they don't feel grieving at different times, you know, processing that loss, but they were never healed and delivered from their trauma. And because they weren't, they allowed that event to prophesy to their future. And they have spent the last 30, some 40 years with their life spiraling out of control, making one bad decision after another bad decision because they allowed an event to prophesy their future. But come on, that's not going to be us. We're going to get healed. We're going to grieve. We're going to process. If we're spiraling, whatever's caused the spiraling, we're going to deal with it. We're going to identify it, but we will not allow it to prophesy our future. We're going to stick to the plan. We're going to peel away the extra. We're going to interpret the struggle accurately, and we're going to retool for this season. Listen, you can't run plays from last season in this one. The Bible says that his mercies are new every day. There's new grace. There's new growth, but there also has to be new plays. You have to retool for this season. What do I mean by that? It means you have to get in the face of God and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do in this season, in this moment, to break the spiraling, to get out of this season, to stop the spiraling, to stand on solid ground? The Bible teaches that the ashes of yesterday's sacrifice aren't good enough for today. No, you know, sports team in the world, you know, does the same play every single time. Why? Because the adversary knows that if I can interpret and I can guess at what they're going to do, I've already won the game, right? And so maybe in the last season, God said, hey, here's what I need you to do to get out of this. But what you have to do is you have to retool for this season. You have to get in the face of God and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Maybe in the last season, he told you just to hold your, you know, somebody was coming against you. In the last season, God said, hold your peace. Hold your tongue. Don't you say anything. Your life might be spiraling because of the lies and the gossip, but don't you dare even open your mouth. I've got this. But in this season, God might say, I want you to stand up and I want you to speak. I'm just saying is you have to approach every season. What I just teach you, the Bible says, acknowledge him in all your ways. All your ways. Every time there's a battle, every time there's a trial, every time there's a circumstance, I come back to God and I acknowledge him and say, Lord, how do I deal with this in this season? And then I assess from all angles. Number five, I assess from all angles, from my mind, my body, my spirit, relationships. And listen, sometimes you got to boil it down. Caffeine, stress, diet, sleep, it all matters. It all matters. If you're in a spiraling season, if you're in a season of difficulty, if you're, you know, I feel the weight of a challenge, you know, you have some relational stuff going on, some financial stuff going on. Sometimes you got to be intentional. You know what? Listen, I need more sleep in this season. I need more sleep in this season. I'm going through a lot of stuff emotionally and spiritually. I need more sleep. And give yourself that permission to rest. But maybe, you know, in this season, it's like, you know what? I have so much stress on my plate right now. I got to cut the caffeine out. I'm already anxious. I'm already jittery. I'm already, you know, I need to cut. So we assess it from a spiritual perspective, 100%. But we also assess it from every other angle. Diet, sleep, stress, caffeine, relationships. Like there are certain people in my world that, you know, when I'm walking through, remember, like we said, we strip out all the extras, we strip off all the excess. There are some people that, you know what, they're great people. I love them, but we got a surface relationship and they're not the ones who are going to help carry me through this trial. They love them, but they're just not. So in this moment, when I'm digging deep, when I'm holding on, when I'm holding tight, sorry, I got to clear my agenda a little bit. I can't just allow everybody in. But I assess it from every angle. Are the things that I'm doing physically that are contributing to this season? Is there stress? Do I need to cut my workload? Do I need to change my eating habits? Cut out the caffeine? Am I getting enough sleep? Do I have the right relationships? I'm assessing it from every angle. And then number six, lastly, I look for beauty. Listen, the stars have a spiral. Storms spiral. Flowers spiral. Galaxies spiral. God has woven glory into the chaos of his creation, and he's woven it into your life. There's beauty. There's that old song. I forget how it goes now, but anyway, I can just, when I talk about that, I can picture the cover of it because it's a Christian song. But I was always a little taken back by the cover because they use skulls and needles and all kind of like symbols of death and destruction. You make beautiful things. It's called Beautiful Things. That's the name of the song. But the cover, the old album, CD cover of it, remember back in those days, it took all these things of death and destruction and made, I think it was a beautiful flower on the cover of it out of all those things. I remember thinking when I saw that, like, I don't know if that's great for Christian, you know, needles and death symbols. What I understand is that God makes beautiful things out of the dust. He makes beautiful things out of nothing. He makes beautiful things out of trials. He makes beautiful things out of chaos. What did the Bible say? It said that in the beginning, the earth was without form, void. Darkness hovered over the face of the deep. It was chaos. It was darkness. It was destruction. And God stood on that and spoke into existence and created beauty, the beautiful things that we know of this planet. He created out of darkness, out of dust, and out of chaos. How much more can God stand on the challenging, spiraling seasons of your life and create something beautiful beyond what you could ever have hoped or imagined? So when your life is spiraling and you're screaming, Jesus, take the wheel, we also have to remember that he's the master at taking the chaos, taking the dust, and making something beautiful out of it. That's why he says, blessed are the spiraling. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Why? Because you are positioned for the master, the creator, to come into your situation and to take the ashes of what is left and make something beautiful out of it. I don't know if you're going through a spiraling season. And again, I don't, you know, I said this earlier in the week, it doesn't mean your whole life has to be out of control, but maybe in your finances, you're spiraling, or relationally, you're spiraling, or in your mental health, you've been spiraling, or maybe you're in a great season right now, but you know somebody who is spiraling. We need to remember that when we're spiraling, we are closer to his presence than we have ever been. When we're spiraling, that's when we can get ready. Because the same God who stood on nothing and created everything is the same God who can take what is left. You might say, well, my friends rejected me. I lost my job. I lost my home. I don't have you know, money in the bank. My health is declining. I have nothing. Well, great, because God specializes in nothings. Right? That's his favorite time to start working, is when we have absolutely nothing left. I heard that old saying is, you never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have left. And sometimes, and we, as we said, we pull off the excess. Sometimes the greatest benefit of spiraling is it throws off everything else that we thought we needed and reminds us, puts us back at the feet of Jesus, reminds us that he is all we need. And sometimes we don't know that until he is all that we have. Let me pray for you today. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for every person who's listening and watching this live now. And Father, maybe those who would watch this later, who feel like they're spiraling in an area of their life or their entire life. Maybe they've been working to climb the corporate ladder and they just got laid off and now they're spiraling. They spent so many years in that field and they don't know what to do. Or, you know, their health is declining and they feel hopeless and helpless. Or, you know, relationally, people have rejected them and they feel alone. Lord, we know you are close to a broken spirit. We know you are close to us when we're spiraling. But Father, we look with great anticipation that's when you step in. That's when you get to work. So would you remind us today and help us today to know that this spiraling will end. My mama used to say, every storm has an expiration date. Every storm has an expiration date. This trial too will end. This, the old, like they used to say, this too shall pass. This crisis will come to a close. And the God who can speak nothing from nothing and create the universes, he said, light be, and light has never stopped moving forward from that moment, is the same God who will stand on the chaos of your life and say, watch. Watch what I do from here. So Lord, we trust you. We honor you. We give you praise even in our spiraling because we know you are a good God and you are in control even when we are not. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Well, thank you for being on with me this weekend. Now, do not miss Hope City Church this weekend. I don't know how else to tell you than get your butts in the seats at Hope City Church this weekend. Miss Cheryl Weaver is bringing the word this Sunday. And I know when I messaged her and I said, sure, now if you're wondering, well, why aren't you preaching? Well, we have taken it a kind of a habit that in the month of July, I'm still in the office. We're still in the studios. We're still working throughout the week. But I try to take the month of July off from preaching just so I can have a time to not have that weight, but refresh and hear the voice of God. And, you know, sometimes when you're preaching, it, week in, week out, like, this week, we had to do some recordings for the network, but Wednesday, I spent 5.5 hours preaching behind these cameras, 5.5 hours. And I'm not complaining about it because I'm so grateful that we get to do this every day. But my point is sometimes when you got that Sunday rotation, it's just nice to have a month where you can say, I'm going to just pull away and hear God and seek God for what, you know, those Sunday services, what we're doing moving forward. And, but doesn't mean you're going to get a lesser of a word. Jen did an amazing job last week. And when I messaged Cheryl and I said, hey, will you preach, this upcoming Sunday for me? She said, I feel like I'm ready to run. And like she's got a word in her spirit. I know she does. And so get your butts in the seat this Sunday morning at Hope City Church. Get a word from the Lord. It's going to be amazing. I know it. I'm prophesying that now. But get here. It's going to be so, so good. And of course, I will see you back here Monday morning on Good Morning Live as we continue to dive in. Now, I already have a word in my spirit for next week. I know what the Lord wants to say, and I'm telling you, don't miss that either. This whole thing has been so good. God's taken us somewhere. Remember, if you want to get Levi Lusco's book, Blessed Are the Spiraling, and where I took these messages from, you can get that from us by texting the word blessed to 717-500-3575. And for your gift of $25, we will get that to you. I have been telling people you can get it cheaper on Amazon. So if you are on a budget, you know, feel released to do that. The difference of what it can be purchased on Amazon and what we send it to you for, that difference goes to support the ministries here at the Pioneer Television Network. So if you can get it through us, that's great. But if you're on a budget, you can get it cheaper on Amazon. I like to be transparent about that. If it can be found cheaper somewhere else. A lot of times we can get deals with publishers when we've offered book deals in the past. So you're actually getting it cheaper through us and they give us the cut or the difference, but sometimes we can't. So I like to be upfront about that. So anyway, be blessed. Have an amazing day in God. If you want the book, again, text the word BLESS, 717-500-3575. You want prayer, text the word prayer to 717-500-3575, and we'd love to pray for you. Have an amazing weekend. Be blessed. And remember, God loves you. He's not mad at you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.